that right now. Lord, we bless your name. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, blessed be your holy name, Jesus. Praise your name, oh God. Lord, you've done great things. Lord, you've done great things. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen, amen. I think David was, he's wanting to say more than just bless the Lord, but oh my soul, with everything that's within me, I bless your name, oh God. Praise the Lord. What a great connection that we have with Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Well, it's great to see you here today. And pastor's teaching for morning manna today. Amen. So, we're going to do our best. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. And we're excited about a great, wonderful service today. Brother John Wolfram is going to be ministering in the 1 p.m. service, and we're excited about what God's doing. And we've been inviting many guests. We've had some great publicity and interviews and with the media this week, and so we're excited about what God would want to do today. And we just want to let him work through us and be in our place to do what he wants to do so that his will can be done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm chapter 1, a very familiar psalm, and perhaps you memorized that maybe even when you were a child. I remember memorizing some of these scriptures. Amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. God, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that you would speak to every life in Jesus' name, that you would have your way in us. We give you all the praise for what you're going to do. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. A lot of rock stars die young. It really seems to go with the territory. Whether it's from a plane crash or drug overdose, it seems to happen frequently. Still, it was such a shock to many who read the newspapers on February 4th, 1983, to find out that Karen Carpenter had died at the young age of 32 years old. Even more baffling was what had killed her. It was not a plane crash, and it was not a drug overdose, but Karen Carpenter died as a result of complications from the eating disorder anorexia. Many at that time had never even heard of this disease, and Karen Carpenter had been anorexic for years, and most people had no idea what the illness even was. Anorexia is extreme body emaciation caused by an emotional or a psychological aversion to food and eating. And this condition occurs predominantly in young women whose body weight can often drop to half of normal. In contrast to victims of famine, those suffering with anorexia have often been able to maintain their strength and their daily activities at normal levels. They appear to be unconcerned with their undernourished state, and they do not feel hungry. They simply avoid food. Along with anorexia is another illness, bulimia. One doctor described bulimia as an illness with recurrent compulsive episodes of binge eating followed by self-induced vomiting or purging with laxatives. And this eating disorder, it also normally affects young women. It can be very damaging and lethal. These eating disorders, they're very concerning. They're very dangerous, very serious. But I'm here today to talk about something just a little different, but quite as serious. I want to teach here today on spiritual anorexia and bulimia. Spiritual anorexia and bulimia. We've all seen the tragic pictures of starving children in third world countries. Many of them so weak that they can't even stand up. Those who are suffering from spiritual anorexia or bulimia, they are just as weak spiritually as those children are physically. And why is that? It's because they lack nutrition, spiritual nutrition. How true it is today that spiritual anorexia and spiritual bulimia are some of the greatest threats facing our churches, some of the greatest threats facing our families, our marriages, and the destinies that God has for our lives. The enemy's always been very successful in spreading these two spiritual conditions, unlike the physical illness, these conditions are not partial to women, but it affects both men and women. It affects both adults and youth. The words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 declare, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Spiritual anorexia is an aversion to reading the Scripture, a lack of reading the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If we're missing a steady intake of the Word of God in our life, then we are spiritually anorexic. We are lacking the spiritual nourishment that is so necessary for us to thrive and for us to succeed. Consider with me the words of Moses to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 32, in verse 46. "And he said unto them, Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over to Jordan to possess it." The words of the law, the word of God, it's not a vain thing, he says. It's not a vain thing for you. It's not a futile thing for you. The word of God, it's not just empty words. They are not just idle words. They are not meaningless. Oh, no, these are your life. They are your life. They are your very life. And by these words, you will prolong your life. I believe we ought to take the words of Moses as the gospel truth today. We need to apply it in our lives. If you want to live a long life, well, the Bible gives us instruction for that. Honor your father and your mother. Amen. And here it's very specific. Don't treat the word of God as something that's vain, something that's idle, meaningless words. This is our very life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I want to tell you, this word is precious. This word is valuable. This word is our very life. It's our strength. It's our nutrition. Don't neglect the reading of the word of God. Are you weak spiritually? Are you lacking something in your walk with the Lord? Does it seem like something is missing? You need to get in the Word. You need to read the Word, study the Word, memorize the Word, and watch your life start to flourish. Watch spiritual strength come back to you. Watch your life be transformed by the Word of God. Many times we get in a place where we feel like our prayer life is just hitting against a wall, and it seems like we're not having the success or the breakthrough in prayer. And I want to tell you, prayer is very necessary. for a child of God to live in victory and to hear from the Lord and be in contact with the Lord. But sometimes we feel like we're just coming up against a wall and we're not having the progress, we're not having the success, we're not having the breakthrough that we want to have in prayer. Sometimes it feels like your prayers are going right up and hitting the ceiling and coming right back down. Amen. I want to challenge us today. If you're in that place, don't neglect the reading of God's Word. If you're in a place that you need to hear from the Lord and you need God to speak a word into your life and you're striving and seeking after that in prayer, but there's been no preacher to tell you a word of God, or there's been no saint of God that's prayed and given you encouragement, you need to get in the Word of God. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God, and you can be reading along something that you've read all of your life, and all of a sudden there's an anointing that comes from the Word of God, and Scriptures begin to speak to your heart. Amen. And God can tell you exactly what to do in your situation. Psalms 119 and 105 declares, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." How many today are stumbling along through life, trying to make their way through the darkness of this world, trying to navigate their way through the pitfalls of life, and they are missing the very thing that could give them direction, the very thing that can light their path, the Word of God. How many Christians today have been called out of the world? They've repented of their sins. They've been baptized in the precious name of Jesus. They're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, but there's still something lacking in their spiritual walk because their spirit is literally starving for the Word of God. They are missing the lamp unto their feet. They are missing the light unto their path. They are spiritually anorexic. They're spiritually weak. They are lacking in spiritual strength. You know, the enemy, he'll go to any extreme to keep us from reading the Word of God. He knows the strength and the power that's found in it. He understands the life that's in it for us. And so he will do anything he has to in order to keep us from taking in the Scripture. He'll keep us busy. He'll keep us distracted. He'll get us to focus on other things that maybe they are good things, but they're not as important as God's Word. He doesn't want us reading the Word of God. He wants us spiritually anorexic. George Gallup, the famous pollster, was interviewed several years ago by Leadership Magazine. Leadership asked Gallup whether any of his poll results had ever surprised him. He answered, he said, "Yes, I'm amazed at the low level of Bible knowledge." He said, "It's shocking to see that only 42% know that Jesus was the one who delivered the Sermon on the Mount. Are they reading the Bible? From our studies, the Bible is clearly not being read. It's revered, but not read." And it's sad to say, I think, that if that poll were taken today, it would be even less than 42%. George Gallup was describing spiritual anorexia. Most people who are spiritually anorexic, they do believe that the Bible was the inspired Word of God. They revere it. They probably have several Bibles at home, maybe even a study Bible or two, and they hold the Bible in high esteem, but they rarely read it for themselves, except at church, if they remember to bring it. How sad when the Bible today is more readily available than ever before in history. On your phone, there's hundreds at least, if not thousands, of good Bible apps available, and they have commentaries and study helps. It's all available at our fingertips. You can easily search the Scriptures for any topic you'd like to know about, and it's right there. It's all easily accessed with technology, but we'd rather spend time knowing the latest sports statistics or the latest political news, or we waste time playing video games and movies and entertainment rather than investing any time at all in our spiritual health by reading the Word of God. Help us, Lord. In our Joshua's Men leadership group, we read a book called Point Man with Steve Farrar. And it was from that book that I'm getting much of this information. I would highly recommend that every man and every young man read this book. It's called Point Man by Steve Farrar. And author Steve Farrar, he once asked 1,000 Christian men across the United States how often in an average week that they interacted with the Lord through reading the Scriptures. 45%, now these were Christians, okay? 45% reported that it was one time a week or less. The majority of those men were committed Christians who attended church more than once a week. They were not men just on the fringes of the church. These were men who were involved. Many were considered the pillars of their local congregation. Yet nearly half of them were spiritually anorexic. Isn't that amazing? How is it possible that half of Christian men in the United States who are called to lead their families in a godly manner are spiritually anorexic? They're leading their families without the lamp unto the feet and the light unto their path. It's literally the blind leading the blind. And we know what happens with that. They'll both fall in the ditch. I believe we should make a personal commitment to begin each day with some time in the Word of God. It has to be a priority in our lives. It really has to be a commitment. There's so many other things that strive for our attention that it's not going to happen by accident. And it's not natural to the flesh to read the Bible. It's not something that we just naturally do, but it is absolutely necessary if we're going to overcome spiritual anorexia. Why is it so important to daily partake of the Scripture? Well, first of all, it reminds us that there is a God who's in charge of things. Amen. There is a God who's ruling the affairs of our life. There is a God to whom we are responsible to. And our society lives as if there is no God. And we need to be reminded before we face each day that there's a God who's in control of our life. He's in control of our circumstances. There is a God who knows all things, who sees all things, we cannot escape from Him. But He does have our best interest in mind. And if we'll study His Word and if we'll apply it in our lives, we'll have His favor upon us. Secondly, it's so important that we daily read the Word of God so that we're reminded of what is true. We need to be reminded of what is true. God's Word gives us a healthy dose of reality. What is reality? Is it everything that this world would say? No, I want to tell you, that's not really reality. Reality is what God's Word declares to be true. Our world is so mixed up to where now wrong is right and right is wrong. If we don't have a beacon of truth in our life, if we don't have something that declares that this is truth, then we're confused. And after all, regardless of what the world says is right or wrong, regardless of what this world says is reality, I want to tell you, there are consequences when we make wrong choices. Amen. Even if they've removed the Ten Commandments from every government institution, the Ten Commandments are still the standard for life. When we are daily reading the Word of God, we have a perspective that we don't get anywhere else from the world. Without this daily voice of God speaking to our lives every day, we are swimming upstream against the current. And eventually, without the nutrition found in the Word of God, we'll soon get tired with the struggle against the current of the world, and we'll eventually just give in and go along with the flow. We need to read the Word of God daily so that we're reminded what is true. Third, today, reading the Bible every day reinforces our convictions. It's not easy to hold on to convictions when we're in the minority. We live in a society that's constantly trying to chip away at our biblical convictions. Our time in the Scripture underscores why we hold to those convictions. We are in a war for our souls. Come on, don't have your head in the sand today. We are in a war for our souls. We are in a war for our families, and we cannot afford to compromise the truths that are found in Scripture. As we read and as we think on the Scriptures, we are forced to evaluate our convictions. Sometimes our convictions may not agree with the Word of God. This Word, as we read it, it starts to work on us, and we change our convictions to line up with His Word. Maybe we've started compromising somewhere on our convictions. Convictions maybe that we've always held, but as we're exposed to Scripture, we're encouraged to stand firm in the truth and to not negotiate with this world. I tell you, it's vital that we have a healthy dose of the Word of God in our lives, because we need God's input. We need to make right choices as He would define what the right choices are. We need a steady diet of spiritual vitamins and minerals if we're going to hold to what God has called us to do. If we're going to have the strength to stand against the world for our families and for our lives, if we're going to have the fortitude to resist the temptations of the world, we've got to have the strength of the Word of God. Praise the Lord. In the armor of God, we're to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we're to be spiritual soldiers. And if we're to be successful in overcoming the enemy, we've got to have the right weapons. A malnourished soldier is worthless in the battle because they have no strength. And they are easy prey for the enemy. We must not be spiritually anorexic Christians without the nourishment of God's Word in our lives. Amen. You need to go back home. You need to find that study Bible. You need to dust off all the dust and you need to get it out. And every day we need the power of God's Word working in us, moving in us, changing us, making us more like Him. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Psalms 119:11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. We need the Word of God. Another dangerous eating disorder is that of bulimia. The self-induced vomiting and purging of food. But there's also such thing as spiritual bulimia. In fact, it could even be more dangerous than spiritual anorexia. If spiritual anorexia is an aversion to reading the Word of God, then spiritual bulimia is reading or hearing the Word of God without applying it in our lives. How sad when people will binge and take in large amounts of food only to quickly vomit it out and to deny their body of the nutrients that they need. But also how tragic when a Christian reads or hears the Word of God but doesn't allow it to work on them. They don't allow it to change them from the inside out. They are not a doer of the Word. They are spiritually bulimic. James 1:22 says, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For behold, he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. We're not to just listen to the Word of God. We're to do what it says. We are to do what it says. We're to be doers of the Word. If not, we're only fooling ourselves. How many souls tragically will be in hell who have heard the Word of God? Perhaps they read God's Word through many times. God forbid that they were Bible quizzers at some point and memorized many scriptures. Somewhere along the way, they neglected to be a doer of the Word. and they failed to let God's word truly work in them, to change them, to transform them. James says, if you're a hearer only and not a doer of the word, it's like someone who gets a glance of themselves in a mirror. You get a glance, and then they turn away and they forget what it was that they just saw a moment ago. The power of the word of God can work on us. We can hear a sermon preached that it really hits home in our lives, and we can read a scripture and something jump out at us, and it makes a connection to where we are in life. But then how sad it is when we turn away from that moment, and we get busy with something else, and we don't do anything with what the word said to us. And we choose to just continue on unchanged and unmoved and still always the same that we've always been. And then we can even build up walls against God's word, moving us until we're cold and dead inside, until we're spiritually bulimic. I tell you, we cannot live spiritually like that. Spiritual bulimia is an aversion to applying the word of God in our life. We can have scriptural facts in our mind, but if we're not integrating them into our life, then we are chewing the food, swallowing it, but only for a while, and then we're getting rid of that food and preventing digestion. Without digestion, we can't benefit from the nutrients that are in the food. We need to consider the word of God today. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to love this word. We need to consider what we've heard preached. We need to meditate on it. We've got to spiritually digest the word of God. Without digesting it, we'll continue to lose strength until we're just a shell of what we're supposed to be spiritually in the kingdom of God. Help us today, Lord. Sadly, today there's a lot of Christians that they have a lot of scriptural knowledge. They have a lot of scriptural knowledge, but they aren't doers of the word. We do our best to teach new spiritual babies the word of God. We have Bible studies, discipleship classes. We teach and preach fundamental doctrinal principles. Sometimes people have been in the church all their lives, and they're rich in scriptural knowledge. But scriptural knowledge is not what saves us. Obedience is what saves us. The devil knows the word of God. He can quote it better than some of us. But he's not saved. I want to tell you, someone with a wealth of spiritual knowledge without obedience, they're still lost. They're spiritually bulimic. It's foolish to hear the word of God and not obey it. We read the words of Jesus in Luke 11:28. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. What is it that brings the blessings of God? It's not just knowing God's word. It's being a doer of the word. It's being a keeper of God's word in our life. Jesus took some time teaching on this very subject. If you look at Matthew 7:24, we read what he said. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Could it be that those who have a tremendous head knowledge of the word of God, yet never applied it in their lives, will be more severely judged than those who never had any scriptural knowledge at all? Jesus said, those who hear the word and don't digest it, they don't apply it in their lives, they're foolish. They're like a man who thinks it's smart to build his house on the sand. He goes and builds his house on the sand, and he steps back and he thinks, I'm pretty smart. Look at all the corners that I cut off. Look how much time and money I saved. He thought it was so smart. But Jesus compares it to those who hear the word and do not do it. They thought they were so wise when they were foolish. Psalms 119 and 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's the answer. We must take heed to the word of God. What does that mean? Taking heed, it means to obey the word, to keep it, to do it. That's how we guard ourselves from being spiritually bulimic, by being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me today? Psalm 119 and 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Isaiah 40 and 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Matthew 24 and 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Don't put your trust in things that are going to pass away. Don't build your life on things that are temporary. Don't build your family, your marriage, on things that are not going to last, but build them on something that's forever settled in heaven. God's word shall stand forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall not pass away. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What do we do to keep from being spiritually anorexic and spiritually bulimic? How can we turn things around? How can we change this trend among Christians? How can we defeat these spiritual conditions? I believe we need to read the Bible through every year. Amen. We're almost to January. We're going to be sharing some resources with you that we can read through the Bible together this next year. Many of you have done this before, and there's apps that can help you, or there's checklists that can help you. Another way, you can listen to the Bible. In fact, some of the new apps on your phone have a way that you can listen as you're driving, as you're working out, whatever it is. You can listen to the Bible. Start a scripture memory program. Memorize scriptures. Find out what scriptures the Bible quizzers are studying and start memorizing some of those with them. Another great way is to teach a Bible study to somebody else. You want to know something that'll make you study God's Word? Start preparing to teach a Bible study to someone else. It'll make you get in the Word of God, and you'll study it out for yourself. And then when they ask you a question that you don't know, just say, hey, I'm going to study that this week, and I'm going to get back to you. And then you spend some time researching that. Come back with the answer the next week. Be accountable. Be accountable. Find a brother, find a sister, and do some Bible reading along with them. And then when you see them, say, hey, how you doing on your Bible reading? In fact, through some of the apps that are available, you can share Bible reading programs with plans with others. And every time they complete it, you get a little notification that they finished the Bible reading for the day. Be accountable. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Praise the Lord. We need a steady diet of God's word in our life. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Thank you, God, for this Bible. Help us, Lord, to love it. God, help us to meditate upon it. Help us to apply it in our life. Lord, we don't want to be just a hearer of the word, but help us to be a doer of the word. Lord, let your word work on us. Let it change us, God. Help us to overcome this spiritual condition of anorexia and bulimia, God. God, we need the nourishment of your word. We need the power of your word. God, let it work in us. Help us to read it this next year, Lord. Help us to apply it, Lord. Let us put it to work in us so that your word can do something great through us and in us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. We're going to take a little break here today and be available to greet all of our guests today. You may want to visit the display table that Brother Wolfram has with some of the artifacts and mementos from the Apollo 11 mission. And let's have a great service today. God bless you.